Tonight I want to share something that I've titled Love One Another. And we've been working the subject of relationships, haven't we? And we've been hitting it on from different aspects, is from the relationship we have with God, different relationships with one another. Obviously, marriage relationships come into play. But what a joy it is that we can be in the body of Christ and have a fellowship and a relationship one with another. So I know we've touched on this a little bit, but I want to dig a little deeper in light of our participating in the one body of Christ. Here we are born again of God's Spirit. How do we participate in the one body of Christ? That's where we've been called to, the one body of Christ. So I'd like to encourage you to maybe take some notes, and I might have a little test at the end.
Uh-oh.
A lot of uh-ohs going on. Uh-oh. But take some notes or whatever, and we'll do a little review at the end. But obviously our Father has a lot to say about relationships, especially with the saints, the believers within the household of believers in the household of God. Two great points to learn, okay? I'm sure there'll be some other things, but two great points to learn is, one, we are called into one body. God did not call us to be separated, and some folks do their thing here, and somebody does whatever they want over there and back and forth. But no, God has called us to one body, and that's something we need to recognize, and we're going to look at that in God's Word. Then a second point I want you to realize tonight is that we did not call on God, but He called us to His family. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, you're going to say, well, wait a minute, I was searching, I was hungry, I called to God, and He's met me where I was at. Yes, I get that. I had those kind of experiences myself, but the reality of it, and as we again look at God's Word, we'll see that God called us to His family. All right, He called us to His family. So let's first, our Second Timothy, a number of scriptures we're going to look at tonight. The first one here is 2 Timothy 1:9. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with what kind of a calling?
Holy.
A holy calling. Okay, He wasn't cursing at you or anything, calling you names, but it's a holy calling. We've been called. God has saved us, and He called us to holy calling, and it wasn't according to what? Our works. Not according to our works. You didn't squeeze it out of God to let you in His family, all right? He called you with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when?
Before
the world began. Before time. I know you have different Bibles, different translations, but I think you see the essence of the truth of this. Is that God called us before time, before we even were on the face of the earth, right? Mm-hmm. So He knew you would believe. So that makes you very, very special. If you're born again, if you're a believer, you've got to recognize you are very special because God has called you, and He has made plans to call you, and He has purpose for your life. And it's through His grace that He's done that, right? But according to His own purpose and grace. Wow. That's a pretty neat verse, isn't it? Whew. Ephesians 1:4. I'm going to use the ESV on this one. Ephesians 1:4. I think most of the different translations are pretty similar on this. But Ephesians 1:4 ESV, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless with before him in love. See, again, here it is. God's word, it declares that he chose us. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He knew you would believe. You would be in his family. So I tell you what, every born-again believer should really be excited about being a Christian. Because here, they're part of something that God set up before time. And here now, they are in the family. We are alive. We are here now. We weren't here 100 years ago, but we're here now, and now it's our time to act. It's our time to fulfill the calling wherewith God has called us. So we need to realize that we have been called, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Again, that just blows my mind, huh? Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to, you're already in Ephesians, we'll go to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. And, you know, the greatness of the revelation that God gives in the first three chapters of Ephesians is very dynamic and wonderful. And now, in the next several chapters, we're going to see what we do with it. What's the practical application of it? So, Ephesians 4, 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, or the word vocation is calling, wherewith you are called. So we're challenged. God wants us to walk worthy of the calling wherewith he's called us. So we know he's called us with a purpose, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got something special to do for our Heavenly Father. And so how does this walk translate? How do we walk this wonderful walk wherewith we've been called? Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness. Okay, now we're going to look at some qualities that you and I as Christians should incorporate in our life so that we can be successful in fulfilling our calling. And this first one here, with all lowliness and meekness, it's talking about humility, you know, that we are meek, we're humble to what God says. We're going to do it his way, not my way. You know, so many Christians, they want to do it their way. We do it God's way. And, you know, his way is always going to be better, isn't it? Much, much better. With long suffering, as the King James says. Long-suffering, perhaps patience, endurance might be another word that would be, I think, accurate in light of the Greek there. So we have that patience. We have the endurance. Forbearing one another in love. You know, we forbear one another. Here's, again, we're talking about relationship within the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, and here we recognize we've all been called. We're all important before God. And now, with this attitude of humility and patience, we have this forbearance of one another. How?
In love.
We live the love of God. You know, we put up with each other, if you want to say it that way, but it's a love act. Endeavoring, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this word endeavoring is a familiar Greek word to those who have had the foundational
Spudazo.
Class.
Spudazo?
Spudazo, that's it. And it's we see it in 2 Timothy, don't we, 2:15, mm-hmm. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. And that word study or spoudazo literally means to have diligence, to be diligent in what you're doing. And so we use diligence. We use diligence to keep. And the word keep literally means to guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, we're diligent as we fellowship one with another. We guard the body of Christ, this one wonderful body of Christ. We don't put down other believers, but we love one another, right? One of the most ugliest things in the world is believers putting down each other. Mm-hmm. We're in one body, and we're to diligently guard this wonderful unity of the Spirit. How? In the bond of peace. In the bond of peace. There is one body, verse 4, and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. So it's a one body trip. It's not, you know, everybody do their own thing. You know, I'm going to go minister here. This is what I want to do. And everybody does what they want to do. No, you want to do what God's working in your heart to do. We all have been called to function in the body of Christ. And we need to ask God what that is and then do it. And as we do this, we love each other within this family, okay? We're in a family, and God's our Father, and we're in one body. There's not a multitude of different families out there. It's one, one Father and one family, and one body. Ephesians 2. Let's go to Ephesians 2 here, verse 18. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. We have this wonderful access via the Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are all members of the household of God. So how do we interact with each other? Well, that's what we're seeing here. This is what we're to do. We're to have that humility. We're to have that patience. We forbear one another in love. We are diligent in that we keep this unity. We guard it so nobody messes it up. And we do it in the bond of peace. So we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Boy, I wish Christians would realize this truth, and I think we would really be able to move God's word more efficaciously. Verse 20 says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, and that we're part of that structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for what? An habitation of God through the Spirit. God habitates you, okay? In other words, he lives within us. It's God in Christ in us. Via the Spirit of God that we have. We all have the Spirit of God if we're born again. So we all have this great value, this great purpose, this great calling. And we, as we interact, as we move ahead, as we're inspired by God, we work together. We work together in the love of God. We'll see this here. Philippians 2:13. We're throwing this in. This is an extra verse. I didn't plan for this one, but we're going to throw it in there. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do you want to do God's good pleasure? Well, then let him work within you. Listen to him. Ask him. Fellowship with him. And he's going to work within you to do his good pleasure. And that good pleasure will include working with the fellow saints, the body of Christ, working together. Galatians 5:13. This is a biggie here. Galatians 5:13, in light of working together as the one body of Christ. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You know, we have grace in our lives. You know, God's not, you know, watching us and we make a wrong move and he's going to slap us down. No. No. We have great freedom. And so we don't use it for the benefit of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Here it is. This is the pinnacle of relationship within the body of Christ. Love serve one another. Or love one another and serve. However you want to say it, okay? But by love serve one another. You know, we serve one another. We don't take advantage of each other. We don't try to get something from our brother or our sister. But by love, that's the motivation that we have in our heart to do anything is the love of God. That's huge. That's the heart of our relationship in the body of Christ. By love, serve one another. And then I want to close here in Colossians 3:15. And again, it's just some wonderful truths here as we think about our relationship and functioning in the body of Christ, the believers, one with another. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. Okay? And be what?
Thankful.
Be thankful. Be thankful. Boy, I tell you, a thankful person will go a long way. But a person that's not thankful, that feels like, well, I should have more, or how come God hasn't done this for me? No. A thankful person is going to be blessed because they will see God work mightily in their life if they have that patience, that humility, that forbearing one another in love. So, are you ready for your test? So I made a couple points here in the beginning. What are those two main points that we want to remember? Number one.
Love one another.
Well, we are called into one body, right? Called into one body, and then we realize that we did not call God.
He called us.
And with that in mind, then how we function and live is on a much higher plane. And yes, by love serve one another. That's the pinnacle of the relationship in motion within the body of Christ. So if you remember these things, I think it will help you in walking on the word here a little more, okay? Okay, well, you know, God's word, it just spells it out. It settles it. It tells it what it is, and I'm real blessed that we have the Word of God that makes the difference, that we can trust it and believe God. Well, to close out tonight, I want to play a song for you, and this song really touched my heart, and so I wanted to share it with you tonight as we close out. Bless your hearts.
think I'm strong. Yeah, the faith I keep pulling on to dying ties. But these tears stained eyes ain't lying. Cause hard, nobody told me life could be so hard. A weary soul with a worn out heart that's barely beating. But every time I get that feeling,
to be reminded that you're the one that's called us, that we're in your family, that we can trust in you, that we can rely on you, Father, not ourselves, but you and you alone. And we know, Father, that you do love us, you care for us, and that we can carry that love amongst each other as we serve and function in the body of Christ. We just love each other, Father, and we're motivated by that wonderful love that you've sown within us via the Spirit of God. So thank you for your people tonight and for blessing them and for the realization of the truths that we've looked at tonight, that we can really shine for you in the days ahead, knowing that you work mightily within us. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.